What's up, beautiful people? Thanks for tuning in. I'm Sharita, and this is Spaz.
This is a coordinated activity happening across this nation. And so we are in a state of emergency. Black people are dying in a state of emergency. We cannot look at this as an isolated incident.
What's going on, beautiful people? And so that was a clip, that was a drop that I recorded from the speech that Miss Tamika Mallory, I believe, Tamika Mallory had this past Friday, which was on the 29th, at a rally that she hosted along with, you know, our brother George Floyd's best friend. I believe it's Stephen Jackson is his best friend's name. I have a clip that I want to play that he spoke of too, that I have. But you already know, you guys heard the intro, so you know exactly what the conversation is going to be about, this particular spaz. And I just really want to come and speak my piece. I have definitely been super, super, super emotional, more emotional than I've ever been. With all of the lives, the black lives that we have lost over the years. And that's not even counting our history. You know, like, not at all. There we go. We have that too. But I never found myself this angry. Like, I'm talking about, like, anger, real anger that I definitely had to sit. And I'm still working on it. I'm still trying to sit and pray because I posted a story on my Instagram that, you know, saying that I don't want, and I almost cried when I was, recording that too, because I truly mean it. And it's so funny because when I posted that, that came from my heart, that's how I feel. And in the clip, you know, from this rally that they hosted at the Foley Square from Mr. Stephen Jackson, his best friend, George Floyd's best friend, how he said that he was scared. I 100% understood that emotion, that feeling. And I know that the thing about it is, I know that any black person or person of color who has good hearts, that, you know, I come from a culture, my race itself, we just are so loving and so forgiving. We don't want no trouble. We'll sit you at the table and feed you. That's our roots. It's literally our roots. It's how we were. It's how we're raised. Even though America and other races and other people in society, people see us always so angry, so violent, quote unquote, and all that kind of stuff. You don't really have a clue. We really want to be, like kids, like you want to be accepted. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just what it is. And black people have always wanted to be accepted. Why? I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Rebels and stuff didn't start coming until, you know, we had Brother Malcolm or Marcus Garvey and stuff like that. Where we had people coming in like, no, we don't need to be accepted. We don't need your damn food. Stuff like that. We naturally weren't always like that because we were taken from home. I mean, this, I don't even want to go down the thing, but the reality of it is, we were taken from home, came over here in fear, enslaved and stuff like that. To where, yes, we've always had that fear and that need of wanting to be accepted. It's like that child that you don't love. Why, mommy, why don't you love me? Why you love my sister, but you don't love me? You know, that syndrome. That syndrome is so old. It's so tired. We're so over it. I can't even express how over it we are. And so, yeah, it's a lot of hate that's really boiling in a lot of our hearts. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of just emotion. A lot of stress. Again, a lot of anger that we really just can't explain. To where it's, for me, it's at the point where I'm like, you know, I just want you you motherfuckers who ain't with us, I want you out of my way. I don't want to hear what you have to say. I don't give a damn what you talking about. None of us do. Not if you're really in your right mind as a black person. We don't care. I don't care. It does not matter. If you are not standing right here by us, then I don't understand what the fuck we're talking about. Your opinion absolutely does not matter at this point. And I think that a lot of times people of color, black people, we tend to have a horrible habit of sugarcoating things. I've never believed in that. I'm a straight shooter. I think that the message is always received and understood and felt when you come at it forward. And that's just how it is. That's how I am. But imagine that being across our full nation, and we're naturally strong, like strong people, which is why we're so hated. We're so abused. We're so mistreated, because there is a fear tactic there. You know what I'm saying? But we didn't ask you guys to, I'm gonna try my best not to like really cuss y'all out. You know what I mean? Because I'm, you know, y'all already know I'm a cusser, but with this type of a topic and this type of situation, all I can do is try my best. And if it slips out, it slips up. It is what it is. But I don't want my message and my word in this particular podcast to go unheard. I don't want somebody listening to this and having to turn it down or anything like that. I want you to really hear my voice and understand where I'm coming from, and where a good proportion of my people are coming from, and where we have always came from. This ain't no new. At the end of the day, the emotions that we're feeling, they're not new emotions. It didn't just exist. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just started existing. That's false. I think that a lot of us, like I said, have been silent. A lot of us don't want to express our pain, our anger, our hurt, our fears out of being, you know, blackballed, misguided, misliked, misreceived. And there's only so many of us that ain't never gave a fuck about how you received us. And I happen to just be one of them. And I'm really happy that I'm that way. I wouldn't fucking change it for the world. I'm not here to change it. I don't give a damn about your opinions and what you got to say. I don't give a damn how you're uncomfortable. I've always understood that however you receive that is how you choose to receive what a person is saying. You know what I'm saying? If you're going to be offended, or if you caught yourself into certain feelings, I'm not active right now on Facebook. I don't even want to imagine the ape shit, fuck shit that's going on that particular platform, because that's when you see your most old arguments. That's where you see families falling out in a difference of belief, and old friends falling out in a difference of belief, and a difference of opinion and stuff like that. And it gets really intense. It gets really deep. And for me, I get really emotional because I'm a passionate person. I've always been very, very passionate. I love my fucking people. I always have. I don't see nobody greater than us. I really don't. Never have, never fucking will. I would never teach my children that. If you have a partner, if you have mixed babies and you're not black or whatever the case may be, again, if you take that some type of way, that's a personal situation. That's a personal issue there. Because you love who the fuck you love, and you ain't got to explain that to nobody. But I don't give a damn about how you feeling. I don't care about your explanation. I don't care about you saying that you're not racist because you have black friends. Because I'm not going to lie. I find myself, but it be kind of on some funny shit, but I'm around with it. I always say, like, my strong opinions towards non-black people, sometimes I have moments where I'll say that, like, I'm not racist. I have white friends. And people will laugh at me, but I'm like dead serious. I'm not gonna lie. I got some racist shit in me though. Like, you gotta sit with it. But it's all for a cause. It's been a buildup. You guys have been hating us. You feel away. You know what I'm saying? Just recently where I stay here in Stockton, California, about a week and a half ago or so. I don't know the story too fully, but a little girl had passed away, right? Rest in peace to her. Horrible, horrible, horrible story, horrible situation. But in the midst of that, we had everything like this going on. At the time, I believe George Floyd had already passed. And I happened to see, you know, I'm sitting down having a session. I'm having a session with a couple of friends of mine. One was non-black. And the conversation about the little girl, this is just an example of what I'm talking about. The conversation of this little girl that I'm talking about who was found dead, from abuse from her father and stepmother, found dead in her garage, right? I believe the little baby girl was 6 years old. And so anytime I hear something tragic, and this may be some wild shit, but this is just how I am, and I stand on, I speak on, I always ask, like, were they black? I just always ask that because I hate pain stoned upon my people. I do. I truly do. Any joy that I have, I got a wife. Oh, she black? My girls. Oh, is he black? I don't care. You know, that's just how I am. So yes, that's, you know, it was my first reaction when that happened. And then, you know, when I found out the little girl was black, of course I'm going to hurt. That's my baby. Why does it matter to me? Because that's my little baby. I don't have any blood nieces, but I have a lot of friends with daughters who I really do love dearly, like they are my nieces. And so they get it. Hurts. It's personal, right? But back to the cause. In the midst of us talking, the girl asks, is like, well, is she a mixed girl or something? I said, I don't know. Might have been not. I'm not too sure. Then she proceeds to, you know, find the girl's little picture, and she pulls up and say, yeah, she is mixed. She's just so beautiful. She's so beautiful. She's a little mixed girl. Pause there. There have been things in the past that have happened to little black girls, little black boys who are not mixed, and that reaction would have been just as sad, because this is an innocent child. But it will always be like a aw, and it can be like, oh yeah, she's a mixed, and and I know that sounds crazy. Man, I don't understand. I hope I didn't lose you guys with that theory there, but I'm saying, what people think about us, if we're not mixed blood, we're dark, we're this and that, it's always some type of a underlying issue there when it comes to black people, to black culture. You know what I'm saying? And black people are 100% tired of giving out passes. You know, I'm in the cannabis line the other day, and I heard this boy in front of me, was a Mexican boy, nigga this, nigga that, nigga that. Then turning around and speaking his Spanish, and I really took everything in me not to tap that, because I knew it would have been left field with the anger that I have right now. But I really thought to myself, like, I'm so fucking tired of y'all saying nigga when you ain't black. And I'm little by little, depending on my mood and how I'm feeling, but what I need to do is I need to be consistent with that. Sometimes I will stop you and check you, like, y'all, you don't really have the authority to say that. You ain't black. You're not black. Like, I don't, it ain't cool, my nigga. Like, our culture, I'm tired of you guys taking our culture, taking our men, taking our women, taking our bodies, taking our style, taking our language, taking our music, taking everything, but will not accept and love us for who we are. That shit is so tiring, and it's so disrespectful. And I really do feel like we are literally standing with each other. Finally, we're uniting, and we are all tired. We over it. And then y'all turn around and y'all kill us. And then the same people who literally, you know, clone our cultures and stuff like that are silent. Y'all don't even say anything when you see us get killed. You don't say not a damn thing. Like, you just, it is what it is. Back to the Facebook, I just had my partner telling me that she was kind of going back and forth in a debate with somebody on a Facebook post. And that this particular Mexican boy was saying, like, yeah, okay, my people too. My people too. First of all, this ain't a motherfucking tit for tat. This is not tit for tat. And you can't sit up here and tell my people, black people, oh, me too. I've been experiencing this too. We've experienced this all of our lives. It's not up for debate. Is that understood? Like, that's not, how could you have a conversation with us? Like, it's not up for debate. And I'm not saying that you guys, you know, other cultures who are non-white have not been oppressed and all that kind of stuff. But you have your own moment. At this point, this is a Black Lives Matter moment, and strictly only a Black Lives Matter moment. At this point, I hate to say it and it sounds so raw, but I don't give a fuck about nobody else's life. And I don't think my people do either, because you clearly don't give a fuck about ours. If I love you, I love you. You wouldn't take it personal if you know what I'm talking about. Because you should be feeling the exact same way that we feel. You should feel the exact same way that we feel. It's as simple as that. You know what I'm saying? There's no comparison there. So he goes on to say, me too, and this and that. Then he says, and I can't quote him because, like I said, I'm not on Facebook. I'm just going off the conversation that I had with her. He says something of a me too, but we don't bitch and complain about it like how y'all do. What nigga, what? Excuse me, huh? See, at that point, what I'm feeling right now, I'm looking at my brothers like goons, like, go get that nigga. Go hound him. Go get him right now. Get him. Wake his shit all the way up. He should never say that disrespectful word or that term or compare to us again. He should just never. You got to learn. At this point, when they're talking about how white people should be fearing us, and no, I'm like, no, we can't mess with them because, you know, honey, there's another clip that they're doing a blackout. I want to say that blackout is July 7th. Is what I need to make sure that I get the date before we I get off the mic with you guys, so that way we know what it is. But when the black man was giving the instructions and stuff about the blackout and whatnot, he did mention on, if we see our people getting pulled over, beat, or anything like that, we should have some kind of a number, which I 100% agree with. How are we going to make it happen? I don't know. It's a little bit out of time right now. We have so many things that we're dealing with at one time. But I do believe that eventually, just like how the Panthers moved back in the days. And if you know me well, you know that I love the Panthers. I respect the Panthers. It was one of it's one of my biggest prides of being from Oakland. It's because it was founded and it originated there. That is literally one of my biggest prides. And as much as that city be pissing me off, I can never turn my back because there's too much rich history there. And that's one of them. And they would pull up with the law, with arms on their back, and they would pull up with a group of men. Standing by that man until that police officer let them go, whatever the case may be. That's our history. That happens. And it's coming back. It's coming back. And that's the good part of it, because we need it back, because we're civilians. We're citizens. You know what I'm saying? So we have rights. And that's another thing. Learning our rights. Learning our amendments and stuff like that. It matters. We don't all know our rights. I don't know every one of my rights. There's so many. It's time for us to really educate ourselves when it comes to that. And not educating ourselves in a condescending way or nothing like that. Or you know, anything of that nature. We just need... That's just what it is. We have to know. We need to be fully aware right now. Because it's real life war on our streets. And I truly feel like these wars ain't letting up. I don't think black people ain't letting up, and I don't think they should. We don't need to let up. I think we should keep going until we actually real life get real justice, real justice, until everybody's arrested and you continue to keep arresting them and charging them. You continue to keep throwing a death penalty at them. That's what we need. This is not just one moment. And I truly feel like, and I think that, you know, the government and stuff like that, they know that, because they're used to black people marching, getting upset and going there, you know, going for it. And then all of a sudden, you know, they kind of get distracted and we go left field. I don't really see that happening this time. I really, like I said, tired is an understatement. Tired is such an understatement right now. Black people are so tired, so hurt. And it is because, you know, we have kids. We got babies who are so innocent. Who are so innocent. I was just talking to my sister the other day, and she was telling, you know, explaining to us. And I asked her, like, what age? Because I was trying to show my nephew a video of it, and my sister was like, nah, he don't need to see all that. Me and her are very different, and I don't have kids. I don't think that I will hide certain things from my kids, and it would be very early. It would be very early that I personally will be exposing certain things to my kids, and you either can, you know, you could disagree with me if you want to, but that's just how I am. That's how I get down. There's a lot of things that wasn't hidden for me. And I was so early. I was a kid when I learned, you know, my passion for my people and whatnot, and loving my, and that's why I am how I am today. So yes, me as a mother, if I was a mother, I'm definitely putting that in my babies right now. That's how I was birthed. Excuse me. That's how I was birthed. But to each his own, and that's okay. You don't want to expose this volunteer kid and whatnot, but see, that's another fear. No matter if you're going to expose it to your baby or not, I need to expose my baby to this simply because they have to be prepared, because that's the reality of my child's life. And I need them to be aware and knowing what's going on based off the color of their skin. I have two nephews. You know what I mean? These are boys. You know, and that's where a lot of my hurt comes from. You know, because my nephews have to grow up in this world. They have to grow up in this world where they're going to be desired for the athletic bodies, because they're going to be tall. My nephews are so handsome. You're going to be desired. You're going to be wanted. But you will not be accepted unless you... You know what I'm saying? Fucking Uncle Tommen around here. And we ain't having that. We're not having that. And that's what they used to have. That's exactly what they're used to black people doing. Chucking and jiving and following the rules, being compliant. Uncle Tommen. No, that shit's out. It's out. It's been out right now. But see, these are conversations that we have amongst each other culturally. Now y'all gotta go on here. You want to sit at our table so bad? Then you're going to have to eat this real shit. You're going to have to eat this real. You're going to have to really listen to what we're saying. I'm talking about really listen to what we're saying. If you're not ready to listen to what we're saying, then you don't need to be at the table. That's just what it is. Because we're not going to sugarcoat the conversation no more. We're just not doing that no more. You know, from the quietest black person that's quote-unquote whitewashed, that's another conversation that we can have. But right now, we're not doing that. The quietest little black person over there that's quote-unquote whitewashed, that person is mad. Because no matter what, they still black. They still got an uncle. They still have a boyfriend, a husband, a fiance, a son, a nephew, a cousin, a friend, a mentor, a guider. You know what I'm saying? What? And you think that it's okay for y'all to just keep on killing us senselessly, carelessly, getting away with it all the time to where we had a point, we were at a point we just low-key kind of had a phase of accepting it. You would hear it. You would hear somebody getting killed or, you know, modern day lynching right now. Oh, I hate that. I hate that that's even coming back, but that's what it is. You will see that, right? And you think that we're supposed to keep seeing that and keep being okay? It just don't work like that, because it for sure wouldn't be okay with y'all. It wouldn't be okay for any non-black person. It would not be okay. The only thing is, every other race and every other non-black, non-white culture, for the most part, knows how to stick together. And because my people are sticking together right now, we got a little bit of Black Hollywood coming out the woodwork, getting on the front line, working with the people, donating money, trying to get our black dollars up, trying to set up bail bonds for our people, our protesters, and stuff like that. We really coming together. And that is an American fear. Because we're that powerful, we're that beautiful. That is a fear. And that is why you hate us. It's why you hate us. You know how powerful we are. You know. And you just didn't want us to know. You just didn't want us to know. And it's not happening no more. It's just not going down like that no more. You know what I'm saying? People are very hurt, very emotional, very upset. I'm absolutely not against the protests and the riots at all. I don't give a fuck. I don't care about the looting or anything of that nature. But what I can say, every single black person out here on the Black Lives Matter March is not a looter or a quote unquote thug. We, the president of the United States, when the looting starts, the shooting starts. Are you crazy? Are you insane? He is the biggest part of the problem. He is the biggest part of the problem. And whoever voted for him, whoever did not vote, I hope you see what you caused. I hope you really see what you caused. And I know, and some people are gonna listen to this like voting's out. It's out because we don't know how to vote. That's why it's out to people. We get frustrated. We don't know. You don't really want to listen to what your parents say, because all we know is that us black people, we were just raised Democrats. You did it because your mama told you to do it. And that's just what it was. And then you taught your kid. And that's the reality of it. We get it. But we definitely need to start learning how to really meet our demands. Remember that is our government too. We are here. This land was built on our backs. Call it for what it is. And stop trying to take that from us. Stop trying to take that from us. Why do y'all want to take away the history, the facts? Those are facts. You can't argue with facts. But yet these are the same people that who say these kind of things are the same people that would say what I just said in a different situation. When, you know, numbers don't lie. You can't lie with facts. You can't do. When can we acknowledge the real facts of America? Can we really acknowledge your ancestors and what you did? Because the same thing stands. How can y'all grow if y'all can't even sit back and acknowledge your part in the situation? You can't grow. You just can't grow. It doesn't work like that. Life does not work like that, unfortunately. Life don't work like that. And it never will. It never will. And I will be damned if my nephews have to grow up ever in fear. I don't even teach my nephews fear. My sister does not teach my nephews fear. Their father does not teach them fear. My oldest nephew right now, he just turned 5 years old. When he speaks, he's doing speech and whatnot. Shout out to King Kai. And he's making his big progress. My nephew is so sweet. He's such a quiet boy to where, you know, if he feels any kind of embarrassment or anybody hurts his feelings, if he feels like you're too rough, he tends to get really, really quiet. He'll start introverting, right? If I see that, I immediately walk up to him and start affirming him immediately. You're great. You're king. Don't you ever look down like that. You speak, you assert yourself. You do this. I'm not teaching them that. That's not happening. My sister doesn't, we ain't having that. She don't play like that with them. And she never should you. and they're boys, they're going to be men one day. You speak with your head held high, with your chest out, you speak and you get hurt. We were raised like that. We females. A lot of like our culture, black people, we were raised like that. Because you got to understand, especially my generation. My generation is, our parents are the last generation of their parents' generation that actually started learning their voices. You see what I'm saying? Our generation is just with the shit. We out here with the shit now. You know what I'm saying? Honestly, listen, history repeats itself. History repeats itself, but we're not finna repeat that bullshit that you guys are trying to repeat. We're not trying to keep on, you know, going on and on with oppression, slavery, and all that kind of stuff. That's what you want to do. Martial law coming in our streets. Light them up. When they in the house. And it sounds like there's kids in the house that they shooting at. You don't even care. We're not talking about that. That's not peaceful. You walking down a neighborhood. It looks like the neighborhood was quiet. The video that I seen. Where was the riot? Why are you even patrolling this type of a neighborhood? What are you doing? There is no structure. It's clear. It's careless. We see in real videos of cops running in their vehicles, running over innocent people. And we ain't the only ones in the crowd. So we got to acknowledge that too. And I'm thankful for that too. I'm thankful for the non-black people that are in the crowds with us, that's getting beat, that's out here fighting with us. I'm really grateful for you. That ain't going unnoticed, but we're not giving you no fucking cookie. That's what you're not getting. I'm at a point now, I think, you know, I'm gonna stop saying thank you. Because I do make it a point to always tell my non-black people, you know, hey, thank you for that. I'm not saying thank you no more. I have to sit with that emotion. Why am I thanking them motherfuckers for doing what the hell they supposed to be doing? I'm not thanking y'all no more. Just do it. Just do it. The way that we gotta just do it. Just do it. I'm not patting you on the back no more. Ain't no high fives no more. Because this is what it is. This is just what it is. You either here or you're not. Pick a side. Pick a side. And if you're not here, that's cool. Get the fuck out the way. Get your ass out the way. There is no pacifying right now. We don't have the time. Nobody can hold you. We can't hold you. We cannot hold you. You gotta get over there. You gotta go whine and crying over there. And you know what I'm saying? And if it ain't for you, march on it for you. Everybody has a role. Everybody has a role. Right now, things are so apeshit and wired and everywhere, and people are so emotional and so angry to where we haven't been able to fully organize because we're so busy at the front line fighting and just getting it done. Organization is coming next. You better believe it. We got a lot of great, great black leaders right now. We got so many. So many. And our Muslim brothers itself, RZA, 19, Brother Ben, we got leaders, our peers, young leaders that got life ahead of them. If we can make it, I pray my brothers make it, because the way y'all killing our men right now, I pray my kings can continue to keep living. But they're young men, they're not old warriors, ready, training, because Muslims train. Let's not get that twisted. Muslim brothers, they train. That's why they were so feared when the black Muslims started coming up and Malcolm X, you know, started really pushing the voice and the unity started getting bigger. That's why they were feared, because there is no fear with a Muslim. Ooh, there ain't no fear in no Muslim man. I would definitely date one of you guys if you guys can accept me and my cussing and my drinking and my smoking. Hey, we would it. But that's a different conversation. But the reality of it is, those pure, and they healthy, they pure, oh, they're ready. Them soldiers are ready, and they are recruiting, they are recruiting. And it is men out here that are ready to go do the right thing, stand by them, and get their man on. That's real. Our women are strong. Our women are getting beaten. They're getting beaten. We've been getting beat. We're definitely the least protected. But right now, oh my God. Oh my God. Babies. Babies are getting tear gassed. Rubber bullets shot at them for standing there. It ain't even violent. Standing there. We are all looking at the same videos, aren't we? You know, with that being said, I feel like cops right now are showing their true colors. And that's another thing. Can the secret be out? I mean, the cat's out the bag. We all do know that the cops was built and based off the KKK, right? We know that. I hope that's something you know. And if you don't know that, please do your history. Go study that. Go Google that. Go read an article or two, because that's what it is. And we're really, really seeing their true colors. really seeing the hate. They've been waiting for this moment to cause this type of a terrorist act upon our own people. I mean, they've been waiting on that. That ain't a surprise. The only thing is, it's a lot of black people that already know that. We knew that. I know I knew that. There's a lot of black people that know that. You know what I'm saying? We have beautiful leaders that are guiding us now. That's really, and that I'm really fucking with. My friend Esther and my sister as well used to talk to me about Sean King. And I used to be like, okay, I'm gonna check him out, I'm gonna follow him. Because I'm really big, me personally, I'm so big on what I kind of keep it in with who I know. And me, I follow a lot of black Muslims and stuff like that, because that's what I'm interested in. It's familiar for me, you know what I mean? It's familiar for me to be guided and, you know, listen to their teachings and whatnot, because as you guys know, I was raised on those teachings. But when I got a hold of Sean King, and he's actually guiding us, telling us what numbers to call, by the way, again, the numbers that he has to call, if you guys haven't signed up for the email, Sean King, his best friend Lee Merritt as well, Bear with the Grassroot Law Firm. I trust them. I trust them. I trust what their guidance to do, their organization, calling the numbers, getting through to the city councils, getting through to the police departments, you know, leaving the message when you can. Always leave a message. If you can leave a message and you guys call the number, as a matter of fact, let me share the number. The number. If you guys don't already have the number, pen and paper, the number that you guys can take, you know, do play your part, 612-324-4499. Again, this number is from Sean King, and you can find it on his page as well, 612-324-4499. At the end of the podcast, I'm going to drop the mayor's number, and I'm also going to drop the DA's office number, because I have it written down, because every other day I've been calling, because it's been so busy, but I've been calling, so I have it written down, and I am going to drop the numbers at the end of the podcast. But at the end of the day, you know, are guiding us on what to do, how to do it, what to say, how to say it. Write yourself a little script. If you don't know what to do, you want to sound professional, write a script, get it down. I wrote a script. Black people, we know how to talk. We know, and that's another thing. Y'all ain't never changed your voice, have you? Y'all gotta live like that. We do. We know how to turn our stuff off and on, because we have to. Right now, we just own. We own. And y'all, people don't want us to be on. And right now, we don't care. Like, we can't care. That has to be understood. We can't afford to care. When we care, you guys, you kill us. You kill us. When we're at peace, you beat us. Hands in the air, you shooting. You shooting. Like, what? So at this point, what are we supposed to do? What can we do besides fight back, get mad, get healthy, get strong, get educated? Team up, unite, start organizing in our little communities, getting things together, setting things. Our lawyers getting out there. Lee Merritt was out there on the ground. I was watching his live. He was on the ground walking around, you know, like with the protesters, and I fucked with that. I loved it. People in the comments like, "Oh my God, be safe," and I understood that. Go home. No, I'm not telling you to go home. I need you out there because you're a lawyer. You know rights that we don't know. And I don't care if you're just walking on the sideline recording it with your phone. And you know, being unseen. Being unseen. At the end of the day, you know the law. You know what's legal and what's not legal. You know what these cops is doing. We don't know if he's building a case. Actually, I know he's building cases. So yes, I need you down there. We need you down there. Lawyers, we need y'all out there. We need you. Y'all know the law. I'm not saying get out there and get dirty, because I understand, like I said in my live, I understand if you have a fear of getting beaten and a fear of dying. I get that. I for sure don't want to get beat. At the same time, I'm angry enough to get my ass out there. So I'm waiting to look into see what are some local protests that are going to be happening in my city and any city that's near me. One happened in Oakland recently. I couldn't get down to that. I didn't even know what was going on. And that's the thing. When it comes to the Bay Area and Sacramento, those are not really always planned. It just kind of sparks up and happens. And so if I can get there in time, you already know I'm going to get there. I don't really miss, when it comes to a protest, if I can get to, especially with the Black Lives Matter movement, I'm in there. And I don't really want to see, and that's another, you know, these little looters. You're not even from here. You're not from here and you ain't black. And you out here trying to take away from the message. You out here trying to really, you know what I'm saying, distract the message. That's what it is. And we gotta be smart about that too. Which is why, and that's okay though, because you know, everything is trial and error. Right now we react and we upset. And we have every right to be emotional, upset, to react. We have the right to do all that kind of stuff. But see, listen, once things kind of start dying down, and they're not, don't, and when I say that, don't take it lightly. I'm not saying to stop the protesting, but we are going to start having our leaders really start forming real organization type of groups. And so we'll know how to, you know, lead, you know, wean out these looters, these motherfuckers who's trying to make the shit look bad. And if shit is still going on, and people still out here busting stuff and doing all that kind of, okay, yeah, do what you got to do. Don't nobody really give a fuck. We still going to keep going on over here. It don't really matter. You know what I'm saying? As Erykah Badu said, y'all know I'm quick to quote my queen because she be talking that truth and has been talking that truth since the 90s. Y'all better, that's another thing. Be very cautious of what you listen to. All the music, you know, all the music that, you know, that I play on the regular, though, it's boring. I'm about to go to sleep, friend. I'm so grateful that I like what I like. But as she said, we're going to keep marching on until we hear the freedom song. Period. Period. Keep, that's what I'm here for. Keep on, we got to keep going. That's just what we have got to keep consistent. We need to be consistent and we need to keep going. I don't feel bad about that. But black people have to be very, very careful of what we're doing. We got to be very careful of what we're reading, what we're listening to, what we're eating, everything. And it's not because, oh my God, we have to be healthy. It's just because right now we really need to be healthy and safe and strong. Our man, I need y'all to start manning the fuck up. I mean, like, for real. Like, y'all have got to start manning up. Our man have been so feminized. Our man has been so feminized. It's crazy. And it was done on purpose. It's being done on purpose. You know what I'm saying? We can't have that right now. And the reason why it's being done is because they knew that one day was going to come. So we're going to get tired, start fighting back. And you don't want us to have all of our soldiers. You don't. You can't afford for that. You can't afford for that. With these jeans, this strength, this height, this power, this knowledge, you can't afford for that. Like, it's, I'm talking, you know, real things. I'm talking about real things, real issues, real setups, real things that have always been strategically planned to keep us in a certain type of dimension and within a certain space. That right now, America's rattled, their feathers are rattling because black people are coming out of those comfortable spaces and starting to, you know, get smart, gang together, you know what I'm saying, know our rights, come as one, start doing things, start, you know, demanding justice. And I mean, honestly, check this out, man. This whole, I can't breathe. We've heard that before, right? We all remember Eric Garner, right? That was back in 2017. Yeah, December of 2017. I'm going to have to fact check that one because I'm not good with my dates and whatnot. But for sure, Eric Garner was the one who said, I can't breathe, when he was in the same position. And this is 2017. We're back in 2020. What are you talking about? What don't you see? And back then, you know, they weren't protesting at this limit, at this line. We just had back-to-back-to-back. We just had Ahmaud, Breonna, and now George. None of them, Ahmaud, we got them arrested. Y'all need to be charged at this point. George, we only have one of you guys arrested. We need the others to be arrested and charged. And Breonna, I don't even think nobody's charged on her behalf. And so the thing is, it's not going to, and that's another thing, you know, everybody's talking about the whole, you know, the looting, the burnings and all that kind of stuff, but we literally all know that the simple solution to stop that is to do the right thing and start charging people. So you got to look at that bigger picture. Like, people really have to look at that bigger picture, that's literally the only reason why, that's the only thing that's keeping this going. And it's going to continue to keep going. And I want it to continue to keep going until real shit start changing. Because there is no choice. We don't have a choice. What is the choice? We've done everything. I'm talking about back in the days from when Martin, you know what I'm saying, was on some A. Like, you know, let's walk in silence and protest. And we getting sprayed by water hose, beat by billy clubs, dogs attacking us, punched in the face, kicks, you know, beat down. That was back in the, you know what I'm saying, 50s, 60s. This is 2020. Like, this is 2020. 2020 is, first of all, 2020 has been a horrible year. But at the same time, it's been a very powerful year. It's been a very powerful, powerful year. This is going to be going down in histories of the books, because this is the first time where it's worldwide that people are rioting, people are protesting in unity, people are joining in, you know, across the nations. It's a big deal. You know what I mean? And I think it's because people are finally starting to look at it like, wow, like, damn. Like, you can't run from it. If you keep running from it, my God, you're so fucked up. I don't know what else to tell you. Like, that you're so evil. I don't understand. Why do you hate us so much? Why is it, like, back to the point, you're afraid for us not to surpass you? You're afraid for us to be desired? What is it? And you're afraid, and we can't help it. We can't help that we're born black. We cannot stand before God and be like, send me down there, a white girl. And another thing that makes you guys so uncomfortable, what's so funny, any proud black person, you can beat us to death, we'll still wake up, still the next day, and we still can ask God, can I go back to earth? Well, what race you want to be now? What experience you want to have now? Can you make me black again? We're so proud. We're so proud. We don't want your fucking privilege. We don't care about what you, that we've already had it. We've already showed you guys how great we can be without your privilege. Without any racist privilege, not just white people. We have literally surpassed you guys and overcome you in every single obstacle. This is literally why non-black people are mad. We're going to go ahead and say it. That's what it is. That's what it is. The only thing that you guys can do at this point is just try again to keep on. Just keep going on and on and on about, you know, culturally, you know, trying to be us and want to talk and act like us and all that kind of stuff. I know the politically correct term for that. It's cultural, I don't know, cultural ones. I'm going to look that up so I can say that, what that is. Like, you know what I mean? But we've already surpassed any kind of an obstacle that you guys have thrown at us. And now we're just getting in the phase to where we're really starting to look at each other like, wait a minute, hold on. Be you tired? Me, I'm tired too. Let's go handle this real quick. That's where we're at right now. That's where we're at right now. We have to be there right now. We have to be. There is literally no other way. There's no option. There's no option, because you haven't accepted or heard any other option. You haven't. Like, you never have. You never have. So, there we go. Cultural appropriation, if I'm saying it correctly. Cultural appropriation. We see this. And we've been over that. I know I have been over that. I have been over that. Coming through, trying to, you know what I'm saying, but are so silent when real stuff is popping off. I'm really happy that's starting to really, people are really starting to look at that, and people are really starting to call people out for that. I'm personally on the face, so it's like, I don't have the time to even fucking call you guys on your shit. I don't give a fuck about what shit you on. Me and my people over here, we on this shit, though. This is where we at over here. I don't even care, because that's so old. That is so old. I'm over that. I'm over that. We'll I feel like this. We'll deal with you motherfuckers later. when we get some real stuff popping off and real things get handled, then we're going to come back and start putting you motherfuckers, and, you know, we're going to start understanding what's going on here. We're going to start taking our respect back from you motherfuckers as well. On a smaller level. Because that right now, that's a smaller issue compared to what we got going on right now. You know? And so, that's just, it's insane. It's inhuman to see really what's going on right now, and but right before our eyes. And this is literally America. This is where you have to literally raise your children. You have to raise them amongst these things. You know, like, you have to. My partner was just talking about two of my friends. One, I was talking to her in person when she was saying, you know, I think I mentioned that earlier just now, when she was saying how she had to talk to her son about stuff like that. I got another partner have to sit back. You know, she's worried, trying to figure out how she's going to talk to her son. Well, I'm here to tell you right now, that ain't nothing that you need to, you don't have time to sit back and worry. You better have that conversation. You better have that fucking conversation, because it is very important. It is very important. How are you going to have the conversation? What words are you going to use? If you're going to, you know, do you choose to show videos or what? Just talk, whatever. I don't know what you're going to do, but you better have that conversation. And the cold part about it is, a lot of non-black people, you guys don't have to. You guys are having the conversation too with your kids. If you guys are in the right place, you're having that conversation. But you're not having that conversation out of fear. That's the difference. That's the clear difference. The conversations, you would never know. A white mother raising her white son, you could never understand what that black mom over there is teaching her son. My friend just had to tell her son to have his hoodie. Shout out to my girl Kenny. She had to have a conversation with her son and tell him that she doesn't feel comfortable him having his hoodie on his head no more. And he does it out of comfort because he loves his hoodie, right? He's innocent. But that's Trayvon Martin right there. Boom. A kid. And she got to have that conversation with her son. Y'all not having that conversation. And if you having that conversation, like I said, it's nowhere near. There's no comparison. There's no comparison on what we got to talk to our kids about. You don't understand the conversations that I myself have had with my family growing up. There is a reason why we are how we are. But you, a lot of non-black people, you choose just to sit back and see things and figure it out your way. I'm not too sure if I showed, I shared the story of Troy, my old nail guy, back in the days. Me and my sister used to go to a nail shop out here, and it was a guy, his name was Troy. He was super cool, super, super, super cool dude. First person, he was, I think Troy was Vietnamese, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, I think he was Vietnamese, and he was the first person whoever, like, you know, out of, you know, a non-black person who sat back in, like, real life, told me how, you know, we used to fuck with Troy. So he was telling me and my sister how when they came over here to this country, they were taught to not mess with us, to not deal with us or anything like that, because we were angry, we were aggressive, we were big, mean, and strong. Actually, he said big, black, and strong. Big, black, mean, and strong is what he said. I remember that. Because it shocked me. And I let him have the floor. Me and my sister both looked at him and was like, nah, like, you know, he was kind of like, I don't really want to talk about it. No, I want to know. I want to know, what are you guys being taught? Because I know what we're being taught. Like, you know, I know how we're raised and what we got going on and what conversations are at our dinner table. What's at your dinner table? And he said that. He broke that down. I said, but why though? And what I don't understand is, when y'all normally come over here to America and y'all trying to get it from the ground up, you normally come to our hoods. You're our neighbors. And y'all sit back there and have that kind of fear. Why? Then he said, well, you know, just based off what we see, you know, TVs, you know, videos, stuff like that, because that's how we're portrayed, and we're portrayed like that for a reason. Until they get over here and they get to know us, they get to actually sit and talk to us, they get to fucking with us, then they get to see who the real oppressor is, who the real mean devil person is, who's really malicious is. That's like looking up, literally, that's like in the scene in Malcolm X when he then told him, look up the definition of white and look at the definition of black. And I don't know if you guys have ever done that, but I know back in the days when that dropped in that movie when I was a kid, I looked it up. My family made me look it up. You know what I'm saying? The preparation that we had to have for our babies is so different. It's so different. And honestly, that's never going to change. it should never change. We should always have this conversation, even when things are said and done. Have a conversation, teach the history, because this is a whole nother level of history right now, right? And I'm never going to be done with it, because again, history repeats itself. We clearly, we were yelling this back in, like I said, 2017 with Eric. So yes, it repeats itself. But you know what I'm saying? We tired. I know me as a black woman, I feel a whole nother sense of way. Like the fear, you can never relate to the fear of a black woman who has real fears. Man, black man, we want you to check in with us and answer your phone when I let us know when you're going, who around, what's your surroundings, because we really fearful. Like for real. I can't tell you. I remember one time I was with an ex-boyfriend. He was telling me about a call that he got from his boys, and he was uncomfortable with it. I instantly was like, okay, well, can I ride with you there? Ready to ride. We just seen the video of that of his wife, his fiance talking about we need to be peaceful. Bitch, did you see them just kill your fiance, your man? You seen that? Have you seen that? That's the shit y'all on though. We're never on that over here. You cannot relate. You can't understand. You can't even try. Don't even try. Stop trying, because you can't. You're not gonna get it. All you can do is respect it and keep it pushing and do what you need to do. And don't do it looking for a motherfucking handout from us. Don't do it on some, I'm here for my black friends. I stand. No, do what you need to do. Do what you need to do and start. And honestly, do what you need to do and start checking your culture. Start checking your auntie, your uncle, your racist family. You start checking. You check their asses. Cut them off if they don't. Y'all not on the same page. Stuff like that. That's what you need to do. But like I said, you better go figure that out over there, because we don't have the time to keep teaching y'all. We ain't got the time to keep on inviting y'all to the goddamn block party and the barbecues. We don't have that time no more, and we ain't doing it no more. That's old. Unless you're a vet over here. You already had a seat, because you ain't talking about that no more. You trying to figure out what we about to do along with us. You don't understand how serious this is. You understand what I'm saying? You don't get it. When Tamika Mallory, when she said that we were in a state of emergency, I felt that. It's almost like roll call. I need y'all to line up. I need us to always line up. I need us to not be afraid. I don't know why are we so fearful. We're not even fearless people. We're not fearful people. We're not. Like, that's not even our nature. That's something that literally has put that on us. They put that fear in people and put that on us and whatnot. That's why, like I said, I come against that when it comes to my nephews. I come against that with me personally. I have never been afraid to voice my voice. And I ain't never been afraid to love my people out loud. I ain't never been afraid to stand by my people out loud. I don't give a damn about that, because that's my people. Let's not get in. What I'm going to end it with, before I get into the voice recording that I want to show. That of the Stephen Jackson, which is the best friend. I want to go ahead and get into the quote-unquote black-on-black crime. I want to talk about it. And I'm going to make it really short, because I don't want to hear about it. And I really am disgusted when I hear my people talking about it. When that black-on-black crime comes out of a black person's mouth, I think that is the most stupid thing that you could say right now. And I'm not taking from that as an issue, because we already know that we have a problem with that. We already know that. That ain't nothing. You ain't saying nothing that we already know. You know what I'm saying? And what I'm really mad about, what really irritates me with that, we having this conversation out loud so we can have other people, other cultures chiming in, feeding off of that energy. That's why white people think it's okay to kill us. Because we're having conversations, we're having personal conversations with outsiders. It's as simple as that. Because just like I just had a moment where I was going off on
in a comment section with DJ Envy doing an interview. And I was like, yo, check this out. This is how I see it. And maybe if I explain it this way, people will understand, right? Y'all focusing on black on black crime and turning around and trying to make it, trying to use that as justifying why white people and non-black people are killing us. Because let's not forget, Asians, that was an Asian man standing, that was an Asian policeman that was standing there right there when George Floyd was getting murdered. That stood there. And we literally, when your president was talking about you guys and the quote unquote Chinese virus, black people had your back. Black people has your back. We always have y'all back. We always have your back. I'm about to start crying. I'm so emotional, but I'm so serious. We always have your back, and you never have ours. Ever. Not ever. Not ever. But back to the point. When you guys want to sit back and shine light on quote-unquote black-on-black crime, and I'm not sweeping that underneath the rug. That's something else that we need to work on, that we need to personally work on. Our community, us, me, my sisters, and my brothers, we need to work on that within us. Because you guys are the oppressor, and you guys are sitting around, and you guys are feeding in, or you're feeding off of that. That's the excuse. I guarantee you in the White House, they probably were sitting around on some, like, oh, you know, it's okay. Like, let them kill each other. I'm just going to go ahead and set them up and let them kill each other. That's exactly how the crack epidemic started. We're going to throw this drug in the neighborhood, and they're going to go ahead and get high, and they're going to start killing each other. What happened was they lost control. That's a different conversation. They lost control of that drug, and it started hitting your people. So your people start becoming crackheads and crack addicts and stuff like that. And they put it in there. Let's talk about it. They put it in there at the time when we were becoming our strongest. That's when the Black Panther Party was happening. What you mean? You better do your history. Do your research. Learn your history. Do your research. Okay? Nowadays, we're a little bit too smart and too strong for that. But that's what, you know what I'm saying? It's always going to be some type of oppressor coming in when we gaining, you know, we gaining our voices and our strength and whatnot. So let's not forget that. Let's keep it pushing. But black to the black on black crime. Like I said, it's an outsider. So when people ask that question, which is an ignorant question, how can you guys get mad when you guys are out here killing each other? Blah, 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 blah. The same way that if I have my sister, and I can actually speak on this because y'all know how I feel about my sister. You know how I feel about my sister. My sister is everything to me, and I don't care what stage we're in. I don't give a damn. And if you're a friend of mine, you already know what's up. I got friends right now that I don't talk to because I feel away. Because I feel like they didn't step in between me and my sister. I don't play that, right? Why? How come I'm like that? Why am I so deep with that? Because you're an outsider. And how I was raised, and how a lot of us was raised, a lot of black people, how we were raised, when you go to the park, you go there together, you lead together. Your brother and sister, y'all fighting and whatnot. I bet you better not fight. This is a famous quote. Y'all fighting each other like that. Y'all better get out there and fight them motherfuckers on the street. Y'all better fight them niggas on the street the way y'all fighting on each other like that. That's how we was raised. I bet you somebody heard that just now and was like, yep. Yep. So why wouldn't we sit back and start coming against somebody that's terrorizing and fucking us up, aka the police? That's an outsider. He's an outsider. Yes, we got some issues over here that we need to work out. That we need to work out amongst our family, right? We need to work that out amongst our family. That don't mean that you finna come up in here killing on us. And we finally starting to get on that same page, because that's, let's be real, black people, that is how we were raised. I know y'all felt that. I know you heard that and you felt it and you respected it and you remembered, like, yep, that's how we were raised. Ain't nobody coming up in here. I can't tell you that how many times me and my sister were kids and we used to be out there fighting, looking a damn fool, fighting each other in front of all these people, right? The minute that somebody would say, like, oh, Sharita got on her or Mary got on her, I swear to God, me and Mary both was on the helmet. You probably was about to get jumped. Because you ain't, who you talking to? You talking about my sister? And I'm talking immediately, we could be in dead fight, turn around. Dead fight, turn around and check you. That's why I'm so particular and very, you know, there's been times where sisters have came up to me and had conversations on how they beefing with their sisters and all that kind of stuff. And they hating on each other. And I'm always, number one, very careful how I speak to them because I'm a sibling. I have a sibling. I have two siblings. I have a brother and I have a sister. And I don't play about neither one of them. You know what I'm saying? Me and my sister, we a year apart. We back to back. And my sister's the older sister. I grew up following my sister. My sister is everything to me. What do you mean? And so when I talk to these people, I always tell them, number one, be careful who you're talking to your sibling about. I mean, who you talking with, you know, who you talking about your sibling to, should I say. Be very careful of that, because everybody's people are malicious. And people will use that against you guys. I believe in that. I was taught that way. I got friends right now that have literally even told me, like, I just don't understand. Like, you and Mary, y'all could be beefing, and then y'all turn around and y'all, you know, things are gonna, and my friends are so uncomfortable when we beef because we're so close, and we have a lot of close mutual friends, right? They get uncomfortable, but then they get confused. This look at the theory here. They get confused, like, yeah, but then y'all turn around and you be over there at her house, she come through to y'all house, y'all chilling, she's my sister. That's all I can say. She's my sister. She ain't going nowhere. I don't care what fight we just had. I don't care what just popped off. My sister can call me in a minute of me not speaking to her. I just went through a phase earlier, in the last year, and I went through a phase where I needed a break from my sister, right? In that moment, my sister, she could have called me at any moment, and I could have called her at any moment, and I don't care what we going through, she pulling up. I'm pulling up. And then we finna go rock and roll. And then we're going to get our shit together, get our mind right, and keep it pushing. That's what we're going to do. That's what you're supposed to do. So why is it so that you want to keep on reminding us? That's kind of devilish. You want to keep reminding us about, oh, black on black crime, we can't fight this because, you know, we're killing each other. Not the time for that conversation right now, sir. We're not talking about that right now, sir. We're going to get to that. That's already an issue. Let us unite the way you see us uniting. Why you don't want to see us unite? There's a reason for that. There's a reason why you don't want to see us unite. There's a reason why you're trying to bring that back up. Remember the crackhead syndrome, you guys. When they see that you're doing good and they throwing that crack in your face. That's what that is. No. We got blinders on to that. We don't hear you. Because like I said, these are outsiders coming into our communities, coming into our homes, killing our women, beating our children, killing our men. Yes, we got to team up against y'all. You're not privileged. But again, you guys, you're scared. And you're scared, like, because you know that you know what's going to really go down and what's going to happen. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and start wrapping it up. And I'm going to play this last clip that I feel was solid. I'm going to play this. Hold on.
And a lot of people have. But you know what? We just building up in us. Mm-hmm. We can't love forever. We can't love forever, and the hate is coming out, and I'm afraid. I'm honestly afraid, because I know what comes from hate, from us, and I know why y'all are so scared, because y'all scared that we're going to pull a U on you. I know why y'all are scared. Y'all been doing us wrong for so long. Y'all think karma's gonna hit you right back. But we're gonna do this shit right.
Period, point blank. And you better believe that that type of conversation, I definitely had that conversation with my family before, years ago. We think like that because it's a fact. And you guys ain't doing nothing. America ain't doing nothing but proving that fact. It's just that we're in our right mind right now, and we're 100% aware, and we're over it, and we're tired. You know what I'm saying? And so do everything that you're supposed to do. Play your part the best way that you can play it. Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid, because everything that's supposed to happen is already written down. It was already God's plan. You know what I'm saying? And so I do believe that my people are covered. We've been covered for years. We would have never made it this far. I don't know not one culture, not one race that can survive the bullshit that we survive daily. Not at all. You can't even match our strength. You can't. It's impossible. Like, you can't. No, sir. No, you can't. That's why for me, I've been stopped having conversations with people like that. Get out of my face. There is no conversation, because you don't even get it. You can't even fathom it. And I'm not here to keep explaining it to you and sparing your feelings. I don't want to. Not today. Not ever. It's out. You feel me? But I do want to give, like I said, I want to, actually, I was going to wrap it up after that speech from the Stephen Jackson which is George Floyd's best friend. But I want to drop the number, two more numbers. The number to the mayor of Minneapolis, which is 612-673-2100. His name is Jacob Frey, and that is the mayor. And so we all know we can call him. If you guys are listening, like I said, you can find this all on Sean King's page as well. I'm just giving the information that he's giving out, and I just want to put it on my platform as well, in solidarity and respect. I also want to go ahead and drop the DA office, their number, and the head DA, his name is Mike Freeman. Their number is 612-348-5550. So again, you got the mayor, Mr. Jacob Frey. His number again is 612-673-2100. Again, Mike Freeman, who is the head DA. I mean, he's the head of the DA office. His number is 612-348-5550. Okay? There you go. Also, one more thing also that I want to share is that there's supposed to be a message that I'm actually really excited to hear about. And it's coming from Minister Farrakhan. So I heard, I didn't know about it. And this man that followed me started telling me that. I was like, what's up with this day? Oh, and I want to get the blackout day for you guys as well. So let me get that going for y'all. And then we'll end it there. So hold on. Okay. And so there's supposed to be a major message for Minister Farrakhan. Y'all know I love me some Farrakhan. But he has a message. It's supposed to be July 4th of 2020. I don't know what it is. I'm just sharing it because that's what I seen. And so whatever I see, I'm going to share it. You know what I mean? So we'll see what that is. But it's supposed to change the entire world. So they're saying. So I wonder how deep it's going to be. Whatever it is, I know it's going to be good. That man has nothing but wisdom. He gives nothing but knowledge and wisdom. If you guys ain't ever sat back and listened to a teaching from Mr. Farrakhan, you definitely should. You absolutely should. He was our modern day Malcolm. But hold on. And then the blackout day where we're trying to control the dollar. They're calling for one day of this. I think it needs to be more than one day, but hey, a start is a start. And that is supposed to be, hold on here, a couple people have been sending me this. Here we go. Hold on. Okay, July 7th. So July 7th of 2020 is supposed to be a blackout day. And that's when not one black person or anybody who supports black people are supposed to be spending their money. That should not be a hard thing because we are in quarantine as well. That's a whole nother, we're still dealing with this pandemic. So it's real. We're really in a crazy time. But if you're going to try to get some type of support or you're looking for ways on how to support, that's one of the two ways that you can support with. But those are days where we're not supposed to be spending. And I hope that it goes longer than that. And I hope that, honestly, majority of black people are already practicing keeping our dollars black and as local as possible. Because I definitely think there's a lot of power in numbers. And I do mean dollar numbers. Our dollar right now is so powerful. Did you all see how they just raised? I believe in like, what, 2 to 3 days, they raised over $1 million for George. What? And that amount of time, so that's that same energy, we need to go ahead and hold that back. We need to really start shutting. But y'all mad about looting businesses that got real insurance, that they finna get that stuff back? Nah, man. Listen, stop buying the products from them. Really hurt them. As a matter of fact, why do y'all think Target and whatnot start really endorsing and pushing natural hair products and giving us a bigger aisle? Remember, you hear me, y'all? Do you hear me? Giving us a bigger section. Y'all know I'm natural. So y'all know when I went into the Target and I started seeing that big section, I was like, ooh, they gave us a little more space. I'm grateful. You hear that? I'm grateful for y'all to just give me a little more space. And you guys have aisles. You have aisles. We're limited. Don't you hear? We're limited. That's out too. So yes, control the dollar and make sure that the dollars that you guys are spending online and stuff like that to these so-called black businesses, make sure they are black. Because there's people that setting up websites and stuff with our face in the front of it, front end of the, in the front line of this website, and you ain't even black because you know that our dollar is that powerful. But y'all can come and set up and set up you Indians can be in our neighborhood, set up the liquor stores and whatnot, killing us. You Asians, you guys sell us all of our hair, but don't know not a damn thing about it. Can't tell my beautiful baby girls how to properly moisturize their hair, because you are not black, but you're rich and your family has about 5 houses underneath their belt. But that baby girl is barely saving her little money to go buy herself a pack of hair and get her hair braided. Get the fuck out of here, man. Listen, there's so many big problems that I ain't even going to tap in right now and speak on those issues. But listen, those are just little things to really think about, big things to think about, like when it comes to being black in America. That's just, man, it is, you know, it is what it is. At the end of the day, everybody try to be as safe as possible. There is no apologies given no more, so white people, get used to that. Please go ahead and get used to it. Actually, no, please get used to it. And if you're not used to it, don't nobody give a fuck over here. So that's just something that you better swallow and sit with. Don't nobody give a damn over here. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is at this point. This is fast.